Hi, Tim.
Let's not overdo it, Frank.
But more important than me,
yes,
we have a special guest before you get started.
What do you mean special?
Special.
I never called you special before. I think it's the public information officer from the Frederick County Sheriff's Department. How's that sound? We're going to give you this one. And that could be only one person, Todd Weibel, I believe, is here. Todd, good afternoon.
Hey, Frank and Tim. Thanks for having me on.
You're always welcome, and we appreciate you stopping by. Of course, no coffee, donuts, or anything. But, you'll find out as being a PIO, you get a lot farther with coffee, donuts, and things like that. But I don't want to, I don't want to influence you.
Well, I was trying to help you guys. I didn't want to bring the bad stuff in.
Oh, that's not bad stuff, Frank. He thinks it's bad just because you're like 12 years old in perfect shape. Todd, lots going on in Frederick County, and you've been involved through the Sheriff's Department over the last couple of days. And you wanted to bring us up to date, I understand, what has happened and what is going on and what continues to go on.
Yeah, so I think almost the entire community knows that we lost a firefighter here last week at a house fire and out in Green Valley. And when something like that happens, we come together as brothers and sisters in arms from the Sheriff's Office, Maryland State Police, Frederick City Police, police departments across Maryland and even the nation, fire departments across Maryland and the nation, and in the community. And I had the opportunity to ride in the very lead car of every time we moved Battalion Chief Laird from location to location, starting down in D.C. all the way back to Gettysburg, and then in the Tawny Town back to Gettysburg, Fairfield, Emmitsburg, and the Mount, and even to the final transfer. And I just have to say, Tim, that's all inspiring.
It is. It is. It's an honor. It's when you see the brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you want to call it, the family that comes together, and it's a shame that that it has to happen oftentimes over a tragedy such as this, but it does. It's very, it's encouraging. You can think of all the positive things in life, and this is one of them when you see these many people come together. Where did the fire departments come from? Do you have any idea where they came? I know there was hundreds of them there, but...
Right. So every county in Maryland was represented.
Good.
You had law enforcement from every county. So... just as an example, when we left downtown D.C., we had Secret Service motorcades and police officers from Metro, Washington Metro PD, and everybody just, the entire D.C. was shut down for Battalion Chief Laird. And it was, so I'm 24 years in the military, and I've seen a lot and done a lot.
Sure.
This brought back to me, it reaffirmed to me that we have the spirit of the nation with us. When you're driving... and you're seeing every person saluting or bowing their heads or taking their hat off or holding up a flag or waving a flag. If you see elderly in wheelchairs trying to render a salute and they can barely bring their arm up, but they're wanting to do it, it's just something that just brought back to me that affirmation that the United States is a great place, and it's because of things like that. We saw communities come together. To answer your question, I think every county in Maryland was here.
Yeah, it's just... it is so, as I say, this is such a tragedy, but it does make you feel better about what you do with those people in the fire service and the police agencies and the 911. They come together because it all works together as one team, and none of it works by itself. And although this was a horrible tragedy, it will embolden us to continue the fight, because every time you go out on a call, every time you jump in a cruiser, whatever you do, it's a fight. It's a fight for your safety, safety of others, and to protect that freedoms that we so do enjoy and appreciate here. And it doesn't come free. We know that with the loss of life. Todd, I appreciate that. Again, thank you for your service, and thank you for your continued service with the Sheriff's Department. I know the Sheriff's Department had a great presence there, and appreciate all the... Who's the extra person talking, Frank? It's just you being Todd. Who's that other person? I appreciate you. Good afternoon. We're live with Todd Weibel, who is the public information officer for the Department of... or the Sheriff's Department. I don't know why I keep saying the Department of Sheriff. It's the Sheriff's Department, Frederick County. And Todd, how long have you been on board there?
I just started last October, but it's been busy ever since.
Yeah, you see what you started?
Yeah.
well, we appreciate you keeping us in touch. And I will say also, if you need information from our sheriff's department, or I can't speak for other departments, but Todd's here, don't hesitate to make a call. You will get a call back, and they will answer your questions the best they can. It's a shame that other agencies in the county aren't like that. But anyhow, I'm not going to get anything political because he's not allowed to. He's already threatened me. But, Todd, 44,000 kids went back to school today.
That's right.
I remember. And that's a lot. That's a lot to manage. Any incidents that you know of?
Not yet. But, you know, you bring up a great point. So there's about 30,000 of those kids riding school buses.
Right.
And about 360 school buses on the road right
now.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
And well, so far, our prayers are going out. We issued a prayer yesterday for them and thought about it, tell people to watch out for them. But one of the greatest things that we have in this county, and I hope the rest of the world gets to have it, at least this country, is something we call school resource officers, SRO, school resource officers. Now, Todd, just give us a simple explanation. What is a SRO?
Sure. They are deputies. Sworn-in deputies, part of the Frederick County Sheriff's Office, that are assigned to the schools within Frederick County, 16 high schools and all their feeder schools. Frederick City has a few schools. Brunswick has some schools. Thurmont PD has some schools. The rest of that we have. And these officers are dedicated to these schools day in and day out. And they are school resource officers. They are not there for discipline. They are there to be mentors and leaders, and they're helping with everything they can in the school, with the school administration. The principals rely on them a lot. They're asked to teach. They're asked to be there. And really, they are just there as a presence. They are not to in any way enforce discipline. And sometimes some people think that, and it's not that way at all. And in fact, we appreciate that Sheriff Jenkins has supported the SR program so much, and that we are able to get our officers out there. And for the city, for us, everyone, it is so appreciative. And we constantly get great feedback on it.
I could not think of anything. My children are much more grown, but I do have great-grandchildren in the school system. It's hard to say on the radio. But and I'm appreciative that there are school resource officers, because, you know, this all started. This wasn't by happenstance. This happened due to tragedies out throughout this country where schools were being attacked by students or by mentally ill people. And by the time the police got there, which was fast enough, but it's never fast enough when you have a shooting incident or something like that. And Frederick County can be stand proud, as we had the, first of all, I want to thank the parents of a troubled youth, a troubled teenager, where we could have had a terrible tragedy up in the Catoctin High School area if you were made aware of that situation.
Yep, absolutely. You're exactly right.
And God bless you guys for doing that. Now, a question I have, and I'm not causing controversy, but you said, now, in Frederick School, we have TJ and we have Frederick High School, and of course St. John's, but in the Sioux City itself are those two. What?
Tuscarora.
Is that in the city?
Yeah.
In Tuscarora. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate making me look bad. But we have to have a little joviality in
right.
here, you know.
Yeah,
you know, otherwise, I start to need therapy. Are they Frederick City police officers?
No, we have the high schools. So we have the high
now,
schools.
I'm not getting controversial, but have we asked the city police? I mean, I would think, personally, being in the city, I'm a city resident, that I would want my city, no offense to the sheriff, but I'm in the city. Is there a reason that the city police don't have those high schools?
Yeah, and I really can't answer that, because I think that was agreed upon long before I got here.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and I really don't know the reason why to that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we do have those schools that you mentioned. We also have Heather Ridge, and Frank, I might be wrong, but I think that's in the city too.
Yes, it is.
So we have that school as well. And so that was something agreed upon long before I started here. And we can talk politics for a minute. This SRO program has been in the politics a lot.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I think we've seen Howard County has kind of restructured the way they do it. And even, you know, let's talk about this for a minute. The sheriff has said, you know what, let's kind of take our officers who are out and about in the community and in these schools, and let's take away some of that gear that you would normally see on a police officer.
Right.
So these folks are wearing polo shirts with safety.
Like your dress.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With safety vest, and then they wear a belt that you can hardly see any of the equipment on it.
Right.
You don't see a tactical vest. You don't see anything sticking out that's going to make a young student feel threatened.
Right.
It almost feels like someone's just walking around the school with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And you know, as much as I've heard the negative side, and, you know, they look like militaristic and things like that, You know, I served overseas many places, and they're used to seeing military people, you know, with, you know, walking the hallways and things of malls and things like that. We have dummied it. We have taken down where it's so much more comfortable to see that with the uniform. I appreciate that because I guess kids could get frightened, I guess. I mean, you see all that, and if you're not taught, you know, when I was a cop, the people you say, they would bring their kids up to me and say, I see you mess up, but that cop's going to get you. And
right.
You know, don't do that to me, you know.
Right. And we're trying to get away from that.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. Well, sure.
And so, like, when you go to events like National Night Out or our open house, you'll see canine demos, but we're no longer doing, like, the biting demonstration we're just trying to make it and show people that
you're
police,
human.
You're right. Police are human.
And that's the part I think is that you're doing the greatest job at. Is when you do these nights out, when you do the SROs, I see them. You know what? Also, I'm appreciative of when a kid gets some kind of special honor or something. You know, whether it be academic or whether it be sport athletics, the SRO is there. You know, sort of like they become part of that family, and that's good. And the people need to understand it is not. It is there to protect their kids.
It is. And one thing I want to add, Tim, is. It takes a special someone to work with children. We know that.
Yeah, I would.
And so these 16 deputies are not just pulled off the road and put into a school. They are interviewed and they go through a process and they actually have to submit an application.
Is there not also special training? I was told
it is absolutely through Maryland and Frederick County Sheriff's Office program has been nationally recognized. Our
special
application. SRO program.
Sure.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to make this, I'm so proud of you guys and gals that do this, and I'm very appreciative. I think it's really wise because when I first heard of SRO back in my day, we had nothing like this. I would have been the worst SRO because I don't like it. I don't want to be in the school. I don't want to be around, you know, in those days.
Right.
But that's why I'm happy to see that these men and women, they requested it, they adapt to it, and they become part of the educational system. And like our school board members said, we've had several of our school board members say how important it is. There will always be the negative mindset that, oh, we don't want cops in the school. Well, I don't think of any better person I'd rather have than cops in the school.
Well, I'm going to tell you, as a father of four, that if we pull these cops out of the school and something happens, and my child is in that school, I'm going to be upset that there wasn't someone of a law enforcement nature. It doesn't have to be Frederick County Sheriff's Office. It can be the city police, Montgomery County Police. I don't care where it's at. As a parent myself, it's very disheartening to me that people want to pull these officers out of schools. And I understand that some of them have reasons why, but that's a select few. And I'm telling you, we do that, and then we have a Columbine or something else happen again, and everybody's going to be saying, hey, why can't we have officers back in the school?
Let me ask you, Todd, one more question while you're here and we have time. And that's a lot of times when I think of Frederick County Sheriff's deputies, I think of speed enforcement.
Yes.
And I know we had a story a week ago talking about the month being speed enforcement.
Absolutely.
Month. So a lot of the deputies are out there in numbers of looking for speeders. And boy, the one report of a motorist doing 84 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. The report we got a week ago said the week before that they pulled over more than 700 motorists. So it sounds like a lot of time is being spent with the department on enforcing speed. How's that going?
Yeah. So Sheriff Jenkins has said in his almost 16 year career that this is the most he's ever received complaints on speed and aggressive driving. And so he decided with his patrol leadership to make August Speed Enforcement Month. And Frank, to your point, we have seen a very high number. In fact, I'm about to put out some stats tomorrow on that for last week. And our folks, our deputies are out there, and we are trying our best. So what happened, we believe, is when COVID was in its full effect, when everything was shut down, no one was going anywhere, right? I mean, that's proven. Right. Transit was down. No one was making money. And people got used to driving a certain way. Well, now our roads are filled back up again. And I drive from Emmitsburg to Frederick every day and can tell you people drive on 15 like it's the Autobahn, where my son is stationed.
Yeah.
And he drives on the Autobahn and says how fast he can go. But I am constantly being blown by on 15 by cars going 85, 90, 95 miles an hour. And the sheriff realizes that that's not only happening on 15 and 270, but it's happening in areas like Braddock Heights and Emmitsburg and Thurmont, Mount Airy, Newmarket, anywhere you want to say. And so he's trying hard, Frank, to kind of clamp down on that. And we actually got that post you're referencing had 2 million views, and we had over 2,000 comments. And we went through every comment and looked at where people said they wanted speed enforcement, and we added it to our list. And we're out doing that this entire month. And we're coming back with data to show what exactly we're finding in those areas.
Well, we're going to take a short break, come back with Todd Weibel, who's the PIO for the Sheriff's Department, and he's going to tell us where all the speed traps are. We'll be right back. Free Talk Radio. Public Information Officer from the Frederick County Sheriff's Department, Todd Weibel. And Todd, you wanted to say something about school buses, because we got 30,000 kids on the buses?
Approximately, yes, sir.
Wow. What about school buses?
So I just want to say real quick that all those school buses are out now, and we want to get a message out to our Frederick County residents to be careful when you're driving. You haven't been driving when kids have been going to school for a while, and now they're darting out behind you, and they're riding bikes, and you're backing out of your driveway, and you're not used to that, and you're going down the road, and you're seeing school buses with lights on, you're not sure what to do. If you see a school bus stop with red lights, stop 20 feet behind it. If you're coming toward it, stop 20 feet in front of it. Wait till that school bus starts moving or the red lights go off, and then you can move. If you are cited for that in Frederick County, it's $570 and 3 points. The judge can raise that to $1,000. So we just want to get the word out there.
I hope you all nail him, Tim.
Yes,
I mean, Todd, because...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, people really got to watch it with school buses.
Yep.
Hey, while we've got you here, let's go off topic, because you are the public information officer of Frederick County Sheriff's Office.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I got the title right.
You did.
But also, you happen to be a veteran, thank you, of our Afghanistan conflict. And these must be kind of rough times for you watching what's happening over there. Would love to get your perspective of what you think about what you're seeing and hearing right now, and whether you think this is what you expected.
No, absolutely not what I expected. I was born during the very end of the Vietnam era, and so I almost can say that this kind of relates to Vietnam. As is my feeling. I've served in Afghanistan twice, two tours. My first tour was in downtown Kabul. My second tour was in Bagram, and I was part of Special Operations Forces then. I will tell you that to see how fast the Taliban took Afghanistan back over is amazing. I think that, like me, I think that most Americans felt that we were doing something to get rid of these Taliban forces and that we were making some headway. But to see the fact that they took it over that fast is just outrageous.
Did you have a lot of interaction with the Afghans?
I did, yeah.
Military,
I sure did.
Training and all of that.
Yep.
Well, what happened to their military? I mean,
I can only imagine.
It wasn't
imagine.
Even bloody. It was just kind of, they just walked in, the Taliban.
Yeah, I think a lot of them probably just gave up. I think they knew that, you know, what was about to happen was they were either going to give up or, you know, get killed. And I did have a lot of interaction because I worked public relations over there, just like I'm doing for the sheriff's office.
Well, also, Todd, you had one of the things that I'm bothered about, and I'm trying to get this through to some of the Americans that they don't confuse the. I want us to be bringing home our patriots, not only our American citizens, but the patriots that stood up with us, put their lives on the line in Afghanistan, because we could have not been as successful as we were without them. And now we're trying to get them into the country. It's not the same as illegal aliens coming in, and I'm having these conversations. We need, these people deserve freedom. They've helped us maintain our lives. And our, I know you in the PIO, you had to work with your interpreters and your...
Right.
And I don't know how, I know just like in other places, Germany, Vietnam, wherever you are, if you don't have this interaction with the interpreters or their friendlies, or, you know, you're at a loss. You have to have that. And I just am praying that that our country welcomes these and gets these people out. Because right now, Todd, if you watch the news as of this afternoon from the State Department and the Defense Department, we can't even guarantee the safety to get them to one airport. Our best airport, the biggest airport, was up in Kandahar, but you did mention it.
Kabul.
Kabul's the second one.
Right.
I'm thinking
Bagram.
Bagram. That was the best place we had. I mean, that
right.
was, and they're all gone. And it's no use now to argue about the millions and billions of dollars of waste of our machinery and things like that. That's not the point. The point is right now our assets there, we've got to get them out. We've got to, because I guarantee you, and I hate to say it as though I'm an authority, but I know the Taliban and I know terrorists and I know animals. What they say and what they do is so different things, because these people, if they find out they were supporters of the United States of America or any of our allied forces, they will be made examples of.
You're 100% right. And my oldest son is currently flying B-52s in support of Afghanistan to get those folks out.
God bless him.
And it's just, you know, you think about everyone in harm's way. You think back to Benghazi. You think about how hard it was to get those folks out.
Yeah.
And to your point, Tim, you know, this is sad to say, but when you watched the news and you saw Afghan people hanging on to the U.S. Air Force jets and being killed, and you saw them falling from the sky, which was very reminiscent to me of 9/11 when people were falling out of the towers, it just, you know, it brings back a lot of heart and emotion, and it really makes you think about what we did as Americans over there and how is it going to move forward next.
All right. And you know, it's no use to criticize right now. I just want the United States to become the United States again. And again, I don't want to make this political, because anybody can say anything politics or about presidents, this and that. We have an obligation. This is an obligation. This is not something, well, maybe let's get them out. I can't imagine asking someone to put their life on the line for me and then abandon them.
Right.
And that's what we're doing.
Right, 100%. You're 100% right.
Are you concerned as a veteran of Afghanistan, that this is tough on the morale of people who have served and returned and feel that, you know, they made a dent, they did something, and then to see just the whole country just fall apart?
Yeah, sure. Even for me as a veteran, and yeah. I mean, the last time I was there, it's been, I think, 2012 or 13 I was there, and I reflect back on that time and think about everything I did and everything we did to get folks over there and just try to, you know, help that area out and get the insurgents out and do everything that we could, and still we're right back to where we were before we even got there, and maybe even worse.
And the only thing I can tell my friends, and I can tell you, your work was not in vain, because you did give us 20 years of peace here in this country as far as helping to diminish the terrorism that could occur here. So it wasn't in vain. And the friends that I've lost their lives and things such as that, no, they didn't do that for nothing. They kept us safe for 20 years. So, Todd, I thank you again for your service. I thank you for taking on the job. You really have you need therapy. You left the military and you joined the sheriff's department. So I don't know. The only thing worse is if you could, you know, become a radio announcer. But Todd Weibel, thank you for your service.
Thank you
for all you do. Appreciate you staying in touch with us. Frank, anything else before we let